Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And God, if the words of this servant are not yours, then may you have a special word for us this day. For we pray in the name of the Christ child. Amen. 3 years ago, a media company in Great Britain surveyed 2,000 adults to see if there was any correlation between the roles they played in their school or church nativity pageants and the salaries that they would earn later in life. Literally, they asked all these adults to remember back and tell them what character they played as a child at Christmas. Then they calculated how much money they are making now. Here's what they discovered. The adults landing the highest average salaries most often played the role in the Christmas pageant of, want to guess? Joseph, shepherds. The ox. Seriously, the ox. Out of 2,000 adults, those who played oxen in their childhood nativity pageants ended up, on average, earning more than any of their other counterparts. Next in line was the angel Gabriel, and then Mary, who surprisingly edged out Joseph in her annual salary. Not surprisingly, the Marys gravitated toward occupations in retail, while Josephs tended to end up in banking or finance. Way down at the bottom of the list were donkeys, angels, lambs, and the narrator. It probably won't surprise you to hear that the angels and the lambs end up primarily in healthcare professions. Now, it seems to me that there are two lessons here for us. The first and most obvious is this. Some people have way too much time on their hands. Agreed? But I think there's another lesson here. This report was published in the British press, so the salaries were listed in pounds rather than dollars. That exchange rate is always a mystery to me. So I did some digging and pulled out a calculator, and I discovered that those at the bottom of the adult earnings list, the former magi, donkeys, angels, and lambs, now, on average, are more likely to live below the poverty level in Great Britain. Now, I hate that for a whole lot of reasons, but in keeping with the theme of the first Christmas, it shouldn't come as a surprise. Jesus didn't make his entrance into Bethlehem's version of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous or Lottery Winner's Dream Home. If Jesus were to be born tonight in Blount County, I would hope, with temperatures well below freezing, I would hope that he would be down at the warming shelter at First Baptist Church. Although it's just as likely that Mary and Joseph might have been among the group of families who spend the night in their cars at the Alcoa Walmart. See, the birth of Jesus was never an event that celebrated the insiders, the people who had it all together. The Gospels of Luke and Matthew depict the birth of Jesus as a gathering not of the rich and powerful, but of blue-collar workers like Mary and Joseph. Common laborers like the shepherds, and religious outsiders like the magi. That's just to say that the donkeys and the angels and the lambs at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder, the ones living below poverty level, are precisely the ones among whom God chooses to come to this earth. Not to those whose hands are so full they can't receive one more gift, but to those who know how very much they need. Blessed are you who are poor, Luke says, for yours is the kingdom of God. Do you know the origin of the word bedlam? Years ago in London, the first hospital for mentally ill people was called Bethlehem Hospital. It was literally a crazy place to be, full of confusion and noise. After a while, people began to say the name of the hospital so fast that Bethlehem Hospital became known as Bedlam Hospital. Imagine that. God born into the Bedlam, the Bethlehem of our world and our homes and our hearts. And no doubt all of us have had some experience with Bedlam this week. Last-minute trips to the airport or the grocery store, trying to do holiday cooking amidst rolling blackouts, testing positive for COVID again, the final push to get everything ready. This place is a mess, and the company is arriving any minute. Will somebody please help? But sometimes it's more than the house that's a mess. Sometimes it's our lives. Maybe it's the arguments that never seem to end, or the worry about an increasingly uncertain future, or the depression that won't seem to lift. Maybe it's the empty chair across the dinner table this year. You don't have to scratch very deep beneath the surface of our Christmas Eve smiles to discover that our well-decorated lives are a whole lot messier than they appear. And maybe you're feeling some of that messiness tonight, not just on the outside, but more acutely and profoundly on the inside, in the hidden rooms of the soul. Christmas has never promised to soothe every pain or cure every ill. Unfortunately, life with God doesn't work that way. Instead, Christmas is the grand miracle that makes space for all the smaller miracles. If this big, amazing thing can happen in a stable filled with animals and angels and anxiety, then maybe the next small miracle isn't impossible either. Maybe the grief will lift. Maybe the estrangement will end. Maybe we can live together in peace. This grand miracle gives us enough hope to walk a little farther in the dark toward the glimmer of something new. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen.